Morning, everyone. On today's daf in Yevamos is daf Nun Daled. Okay, we're about to begin the sixth parak of the Masechta. We have a little bit more to go to finish, just to finish up the fifth parak. We're on the top, very top of the Amud of Nun Gimel Mid Beis. So just quickly, we're going to finish up the fifth parak and God willing, start the sixth parak of the Masechta. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. Sponsorship will be learned. The daf will be learned. Zecher Nishmas Shlomo Lupin Zaltzman. Take a look at the very top. Chalas Vasa Maimer. Okay, the we're finishing up some very brief points that the Gemara is going to make regarding the Mishnah. Rashi tells us, if you take a look at the very top Rashi on the Amud, Rashi says we're talking about this part, this short segment of Gemara is focusing on Yavamecha and Yavamachas. Okay, remember the two halves of the Mishnah. You go back to Daf Nun, where the Perek began. So the Mishnah had a set of cases where it was one-on-one, one Yavam with one Yavama. And then the Mishnah talked about one and two, one Yavam and two Yavamas, or the Mishnah says it also would be true if you flipped as well. It would be two Yavamim and one Yavama. But either way, our Gemara right now is just focusing on Yavam and Yavama. And Bishop Machalas Vasa Maimritzrech, so the Gemara says, look, I certainly understand the case of where first you do chalitzater and then you do maimer, sakadachamin, and nigzer maimer, debasa chalitza, to maimer, dekame chalitza. Because look, once you're doing a sequence of chalitza and maimer, so one can envision that there would be a gzera. Why? Because if you do chalitza and maimer, and you say that the maimer you do after the chalitza is totally ineffective, so then you could just easily say, well, if a chalitza followed by maimer is ineffective, so maimer followed by chalitza is also ineffective. So kamash malan dolo gezrinan. So the Mishnah needs to teach us that there's no gzera. Fine. Ela chalitza v'nasan get lamali, but chalitza followed by get, what's the problem? Meaning chalitza followed by get, what are you worried about? You worry that maybe it'll be flipped. Maybe it'll be get followed by chalitza. Okay, that's fine. In other words, both are creating a severance. Get after chalitza is nothing, but so is chalitza after get nothing. Fine. So why would the Mishnah need to include that? We already know the answer. In other words, after going through yesterday's daf, the answer to all these questions is going to be the same answer. It's because the Mishnah is going through every single scenario. Look, if you have bia followed by get, I could certainly envision the chachamim making a gzera, because instead of bia after get, and let's say you reverse the order and it's get achar bia. Sorry. Bia achar get. May first get, then bia. I can certainly imagine that the chachamim would make a gzera over there, although they didn't. And that's a chiddush. But bia followed then by mimer, what's the problem? Problem is you may reverse it. It may now be mimer followed by bia. That's perfect. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So I did the tani chalas vasa mimer, tananami ba vasa mimer. So the Gemara says again, because the Mishnah is just simply going through every case, whether it is or it is not a chiddush. So I did the bai lemisne ba vanasan get, tananami chalas vanasan get. Okay, good. Right, I know the Gemara made the point yesterday, but the Gemara in its thoroughness is covering every aspect of the Mishnah. So good. So the Gemara made the point again. Bizman shehi. The Gemara points out now that our Mishnah is not going to be in agreement with the following Tana. Now, we're talking about the last part of the Mishnah. If you take a look back on Nun Amud Beis, you'll note that the Mishnah says that where Chalitza is placed anywhere in the sequence, Chalitza can be done in the beginning, in the middle, and the end, Chalitza is the game ender. Meaning, there is nothing after Chalitza. Any action you do after Chalitza is totally ineffective. Doesn't create any type of status. Masha Enke, when it comes to Bia, so be in the beginning, so what do we say? Be in the beginning, that's a mitzvah. Fine. That creates a kinyan between the Yavam and the Yavama. So you do anything after that point in time, it's totally ineffective. What if Bia is in the middle? What if Bia is in the end? That's a machlokas in the Mishnah. You will recall, the Mishnah says that according to the Tanakhama, right, if you look at the end of the Mishnah, Habi'ila bizmachi bitchila in acharaklum be'emtza v'sof yesh acharaklum. So the Tanakhama's position is that Bia done either in the middle or at the end is not a kinyan. The terminology we used to describe that was Bia psula, right? It's an inferior Bia. And Reb Nechemia says no. And then the Shita of Reb Nechemia back in the Mishnah is that no, Bia in the beginning, in the middle, and the end is always going to be the deal, the mitzvah ender. And anything after that is going to be inconsequential. To which now the Gemara is going to point out, we have two Shitas in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to introduce this to a third. It's obviously coming from a Braisa. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braitha. Abba Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Achaz Bilav Achaz Chalitza. Whether it comes to be or whether it comes to Chalitza, Betchila, Ein Acharei Klom, B'emtza V'sof, Yesh Acharei Klom. If done in the beginning, meaning it's the first action point that's done between the Yavah and the Yavama, that's it. But if it comes in the middle, it's not the end. And that's not just true by Bia, but that's also true by Chalitza as well. Okay, so we have now a third shita. So Ushlosh Machlokes Medaber. And now the Gemara says, it's funny, sometimes the Gemara has us figuring everything out on her own, and sometimes the Gemara spells things out. So here's an example where the Gemara just spells it out, just to make sure that we got it. So Ushlosh Machlokes Medaber. It's a three-way Machlokes. Tana Kama Sarve Bia Dika Lemigzar Gazrinan. Chalitza Deleika Lemigzar Lo Gazrinan. So we have first Tanakam of our Mishnah. Tanakam of our Mishnah says, look, when it comes to be, let's start with Chalitza. When it comes to Chalitza, there's no Gzera. There's no need to make a Gzera. So therefore, Chalitza will always be a game ender. It will be the mitzvah ender. And so therefore, anything done after Chalitza is going to be inconsequential. And it does not matter when Chalitza was done, whether it was done beginning, middle, or end. Not true by Bia, a Gzera. Rabbi Nechemia says, Rabbi Anami like a Migzar. So, and Rabbi Nechemia disagrees. Rabbi Nechemia says, no, that there's no Gzera by Bia. Udikamar Ligzar Bia Acher, get Mishim Bia Acher Chalitza. And what was your concern? Well, let's make a Gzera of Bia after get because of Bia after Chalitza. And again, Bia after get, what does it get? Minotaur, nothing. Midrabanan, it's the beginning of severance. But Minotaur, it's nothing. So if Chalitza follows, if Bia follows the get, so then the Bia was a kinyan. Fine. But Gzera. And what was the Gzera? The Gzera is Bia Achar get because of Bia Achar Chalitza. Right. Because once you do Chalitza, so that's it. There's no longer a mitzvah. So now you're doing Bia. That's an Avera. So, and Chalitza and get are very similar to one another, like we discussed already a number of times. And so therefore, one can easily envision that if one allows the Bia Achar get, so then one will then think that Bia Achar Chalitza would also be fine. So came the Chalitza Dareisa made the Yade. So Rabbi Nechemia says, I don't think Gzera is necessary. Why not? Because people understand the fundamental difference between Chalitza and get as it pertains to the mitzvah of Yibum. Fine. Udika Amar Ligzar Bia Achar Maimer Mishum Bia Achar Bia. And what did you say? Bia Achar Maimer? Because again, Maimer is a quasi kiddushin. It's a quasi marriage. And if we allow Bia Achar Maimer, so then we're going to allow Bia Achar Bia. And Bia Achar Bia, that's an Isser. Meaning if the Yavam does Bia to one of the wives, and then he does Bia to the other one of the wives, he's not Kone both, he's only Kone one. And the second one's an Aveiro. So the Gemara says, Kem de Bia Daraisa Meida Yadeh. So once again, Rabbi Nechemia feels that, no, people understand the difference between Bia and Maimer. Bia is a Din Daraisa, Maimer is a Din Darabanan. And so therefore, because he feels that people know the fundamental difference, therefore there's no reason to make a Gzera. Vaba Yossi ben Chanan Savarlo, Kerabanan, Degazer Bibia, Vegazer Chalitza, Mishum Bia. And what about Yossi ben Chanan? So he holds like the Chachamim that make a Gzera by Bia, and also make a Gzera by Chalitza because of Bia. So in other words, Rav Yossi of the Braisa, Rav Yossi ben Yochanan, so he feels that it's shaykh to make a Gzera both by Chalitza and by Bia, and as a result of that, the only time that Bia or Chalitza will be the end is going to be when it's done in the beginning. But if done in the middle or if done at the end, so it's deficient, and anything you do after that will also have status as well. Hadralach Rebbe Gamliel, that is the end of the fifth parak of the Masechta. Okay. We now begin the sixth parak of the Masechta, and we are not only changing chapters, but we're changing, not topics, the topic is the same, but we're changing themes. Meaning, as opposed to the first five parak of the Masechta, we dealt with really the mitzvah of Yibum, okay, and all of its permutations. Okay, obviously, a lot of complexity that we've covered so far in the first, now nearly 2 months of learning the Masechta, as we go through a lot of different permutations of how the mitzvah can be done, the mitzvah saseh being docha the lo saseh, and some of it was very complicated. Not that the Gemara coming up is going to be that much easier, it's not, but its focus is going to be a much different focus. Our sixth parak of the Masechta focuses on the act of Bia itself, so it's going to be a little bit delicate in terms of that discussion. You'll see a lot of that today, and also the mitzvah peru revu, meaning it's really going to be focusing much more on the act of bia and the positive and negative consequences of the actual act of bia. Okay. So let's begin. Now the mitzvah of yibum is a little different than ishus in general. When it comes to ishus in general, first of all, is ishus a mitzvah? That's machlokas rishonim. Whether getting married is a mitzvah, having children is a mitzvah. That's says so in the Torah. Actually, getting married to have children, so it's machlokas between the rishonim. Rambam says it's a mitzvah. The Rosh says it's a hechsher mitzvah. Either way, but in other words, when it comes to ishus, so there's one important component to the mitzvah of ishus, and that is kavana. You marry a woman, so you have to willingly get involved in the marriage. And I'm talking about both the husband and the wife. There can be there cannot be a lack of das on either participant in the mitzvah of getting married. That's not going to be true by Yibum. By Yibum, the mitzvah in the Torah is the act of bia. And as we're going to see, kavana is not a necessary component. Like we discussed earlier, we're going to say it again in the Mishnah, as we're about to see in the Mishnah. As far as the woman is concerned, you don't need her consent. Now, there are times, we go all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, there are times when the woman is allowed to opt out of the mitzvah of Yibum. The Gemara's example that I gave earlier was Mukashchin, right? If the man is physically repulsive, so then the Beis Din will come and opt out. Remember, we also learned earlier in the Masechta that Eitz HaTova, that Beis Din is going to advise. Because, again, this shidduch wasn't done through a shadchan. It was min hashamayim hiknulo. So it could be that the yavam is very young, the yavam is very old. It could be that the yavam is very old and the yavam is very young. So Beis Din will give Eitz HaTova. Beis Din will advise. All that's true. But in terms of the actual mitzvah itself, it can be performed without kavana. And the interesting part is, you don't need kavana of the woman, and you don't need kavana of the man as well. The act of bia will facilitate the mitzvah, and that's it. And what we're going to be seeing over the course of the Mishnah, the Gemara coming up, is that there needs to be some modicum there needs to be some modicum of intent, but it's not the kind of intent that you need when it comes to ishus. When it comes to ishus, you need his consent, her consent. When it comes to yibum, it's not so. Okay, so habal yivimto, man has relations with his yavama, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, whether done unintentionally or intentionally. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Habal yivimto shogeg, first Rashi on the perek. Kasavashi ishto u ishacher. So shogeg, so it is easy to construct a scenario of shogeg. Shogeg means he didn't know that it was his yavama. Okay? We're in the right parsha to have this discussion. Right? Rachel Leah didn't know. Right, the wakes up in the morning. Anyway, the Hine Leah, right? The Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a vort. It's beautiful. You should see it. The Hine is always in the Torah. Whenever the word Vihine comes up, it's like something you didn't expect. You didn't see that coming.
Right,
a surprise. So anyway, fine. So it's the right parsha to have this discussion. So the case of Shogeg, very straightforward. So he ishto or isha acheres. He thinks that this woman is either his wife or another woman, not his yavama. Okay, that's Shogeg. So ones? No, I'm sorry. Back up. I'm sorry. Mezid? What's mezid? Right. What in the context of yibum? What does that mean? Again, let's take a look at the next Rashi. Rashi says l'shem zos for l'shem mitzvah. Oh. So Rashi explains that mezid over here means obviously you're intentional. That's the whole definition of mezid. But intentional not to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning, you know it's your Yavama. You know there's a mitzvah opportunity. But right now, the man is interested only in one thing, not in the mitzvah. And that is, in this context, what mezid means. And again, the point the Mishnah is going to make and repeat is that it's not, the kavana is not necessary. Even if he has no kavana to do the mitzvah, still creates a kinyan. Next part of the Mishnah. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. Whether done b'ones, it was forced, or b'ratzon, or if it was done willingly. Afilu u'shogeg v'hi mezida. Even if he is a shogeg and she was mezida, she was intentional. Hu mezid v'hi shogeges. He was intentional, she was a shogeges. Hu anus, he lo anusa. He was forced, she was not. He anusa v'hu lo anus. She was forced, he was not. In any one of these scenarios, the mitzvah of Yibum has been accomplished. Because again, the mitzvah of Yibum does not require intent. And so therefore, even if they did not have a willing participant, nevertheless, the mitzvah of Yibum is accomplished. What if, the Mishnah doesn't discuss this, what if both of them were not willing participants? Now, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah only illustrates examples where one of the two was not a willing participant. What if both weren't? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to raise that question. It's not even going to be a question. The Gemara is going to tell us. Echad ha-ma'ar ve'echad ha-gomer kana. V'lo chilek bein bia le'bia. And then the Mishnah speaks in graphic description about how the act of bia is accomplished. Meaning, we're actually giving the definition of bia. Whether it's ha'ara or whether it is gomer. Ha'ara, partial penetration. Gomer, a full penetration. Either one of them qualifies as an act of bia and therefore creates a kinyan. And eino chalek bein bia le'bia. And also different types of bia. Meaning bia kedarka, bia shelo kedarka. Both of those qualify as bia. And now the first half of the Mishnah described bia litova, meaning as an accomplishment of a mitzvah. And now the second half of the Mishnah says the definition, the very definition that we gave for bia, also is going to work la'avera. For example, if man has relations with any one of the arayos mentioned in Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim, so as we just described, meaning ha'ara, gemar bia, kedarka, shelo kedarka, that all will qualify as bia. And in this context, in order to get rung up for the avera, and also in terms of a kohen violating the isser of either grusha v'chalutza, or for a kohen gadol with an amana, or for a mamzer or mamzeres, in any one of these scenarios, when exactly is the avera been accomplished? Exactly as we just described, meaning even at the point of ha'ara, even at it doesn't have to be gemar bia, still the avera is going to be violated. And then the Mishnah repeats itself and says also in terms of bia labia, bia kedarka, bia shelo kedarka, both qualify as bia. Just one point before we go into the Gemara, for purposes of clarification. One of the examples over here was given the Mishnah was Mamzeris and Nesina, meaning that if a man has Bia with either a Mamzeris and Nesina, so then she is disqualified. For what? Well, what is it? What does that mean she's disqualified? Right, exactly. So take a look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah. So Rashi clarifies his point. Mamzeris and Nesina, lava psula kuhunakai. So Rashi makes the obvious point, but you know we can make obvious points. It's good. Means we're learning. That obviously, when we're talking about a mamzeres, we're not talking about her status to a kohen. Prior to her active relations, she was already disqualified to a kohen. The psula v'kaimo le'inyan truma debe nashu nami leka lemigzar. And what about her going back to her father's house to eat truma? Rashi says that's also not an issue. She's not going back to her father's house to eat truma. She's not. She never was entitled to truma. V'od bias kasher mai megarala. And her having relations with somebody who's qualified, who's a kasher, Not gonna move her down in status. She's already a mamzeres. Ella le'inyan ha'ara naktol le'milke ella ha'yisrael b'hara gemar kegemar bia. Rashi says over here the entire point of the Mishnah is we're just giving the definition of bia, so that if a man, a kosher man, has relations with a mamzeres, and even if it was not a full penetration, even if it was a partial penetration, nevertheless that defines itself as bia, he is going to be subject to malchus. It's a good question. Yeah. Right. Very good. Right. So the Yavama Yavo Aleha, which is the pasuk, which the Gemara is going to point out, says that as far, in other words, obviously the goal of the mitzvah of Yibum is to produce a child, but the mitzvah is accomplished even at an earlier stage. Okay, it's a chiddush. You're right. It's an excellent point.
So the mitzvah is the bia, not the
right.
Progeny.
It seems like the, right. In other words, but the It's one of those scenarios where I agree. No, the
mitzvah is done for a question.
The mitzvah is done, but the Torah also gives an express goal of what you should be trying for. You should be trying to have a child. Lahikim shim zera. Okay. But it's an excellent point. So my afilu. Gemara's first point regarding the Mishnah is the word afilu of the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah says afilu. Every time the Mishnah says the word afilu, it means I'm going to give you the biggest chiddush. Where was the biggest chiddush in the Mishnah when it said the word afilu? So lo mi bai kamar, lo mi bai hu shogeg v'hi kamechavna l'mitzvah. So the Gemara says lo mi bai kamar, the style of the Mishnah is lo mi bai, which means that we're going to be building one on top of another. Meaning that the afilu is not going on every scenario that was illustrated in the Mishnah, but let's build up to a chiddush. So hu shogeg v'hi kamechavna l'mitzvah, let's say he's a shogeg. Doesn't know it's a zivam, thinks it's another woman. And she right now is interested in the mitzvah. Inami, who mezid v'hikamechav na l'mitzvah? Or let's say he's a mezid. Again, we go back to the Rashi and the Mishnah. Mezid in this case means he's not interested in the mitzvah. He knows who it is. He's just not interested in the mitzvah. And she's interested in the mitzvah. Elafilu hu shogeg v'himezida. D'tetarvay lo kamechav na l'shem mitzvah. But now let's say the chiddush even bigger. He's a shogeg. He doesn't even know it's his yivama. Thinks it's his wife. It's not. And she is right now also not interested in the mitzvah. She's mezida. Mezida meaning she's just right now interested in znus. She's not interested in the mitzvah. Afila achikana. Still, there's going to be a kinyan. Okay, now, Tani Rabbi Chiya. As I mentioned back in the Mishnah, but here the Gemara spells it out. It's not even a question. Gemara just simply quotes the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya. Afilu shneim shogigim, shneim mezidim, shneim anusim. It can be that both of them have no intent. It could be that both of them are anusim, which the Gemara is going to illustrate in just a moment what exactly would be an example of that. But if both of them are anusim, if both of them are mezidim, again, mezidim in this context means they're doing it just l'shem znus, they're not interested in the mitzvah. Still, the kinyan has been accomplished, and the mitzvah has been performed. Anusim asnisan echidami.
There's no issue of the mitzvah of Avera here?
There's no Avera. What's the
other? Shalom Darko is not Avera?
No.
Is there a difference between the Mishnah seems to say kana, not necessarily mitzvah?
But
so is the mitzvah kana?
Ben, come to me after Shia. I'll address your question because I know what's behind your question. In other words, if it's not a mitzvah, it's an avera, right? We're talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. So either it's a mitzvah or she's a shesach. So, there's no middle ground. So, kona means you did the mitzvah. Because if you didn't do the mitzvah, then say shesach. Okay. Okay. Anastam asnisen hechi dami. Okay. Again, delicate discussion, but good. It's for a mature audience. What's the, what is anus by man? Anus by woman is self-evident. Okay, but anus by man, what exactly is the defining parameter of anus by man? So, ilay mekashen tzu ovdei kochavim ovala. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it's ovdei kochavim, you have non-Jews who go in and force the man. The Gemara says, no such thing. V'hama rava in ones la'erva l'fisha in kishui el aladas. So Rava says, there is no ones when it comes to erva. Meaning, by the man, obviously by the woman, there is ones. But by the man, it's not ones. And it's not ones because kishui can only come with the man's intent. Meaning the Gemara makes an assumption that kishui cannot just simply happen. The man has to want it to happen. So to get from a point of where he's not mitkasha to the point where he's now kasha, so that has to have the man himself's participation. And so therefore, the Gemara is just simply bothered by a very simple question. What's the case of ones as it relates to the man? So the Gemara now makes the following suggestion. The Gemara says, you know what the case of onus would be? He's sleeping. While sleeping, he was mitkasha, and then in that state, she, the Yavama, goes over and she has relations with him. And that would be a case of onus. And again, now, the part that the Gemara wants to get to is where the kishu already occurred. Meaning, if you go from a point of enamit kasha to kasha, so that requires his das, and there, and it's not a definition of ones. In order to get it to a definition of ones, you need where kishui occurs. So the Gemara now suggests that he's sleeping.
Noah be an example?
Huh?
Noah.
You mean Lot?
No.
Right? Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. Okay, maybe. Could be. So the Amar of Yehuda, Yashin lo Karnabi of Himto. So the Gemara says, okay, but problem is, we have a statement of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that a man who's sleeping does not make a kinyan. Okay, now it's at this point in time fair to be very confused. Because, on one hand, the Mishnah has said a number of different ways that you don't need kavana. Right, correct. You don't need kavana. So then the Gemara says, so how can you have a case of onus by man? So the Gemara says, okay, he's sleeping. And his kishui comes as during the sleep, and that's and then he's involved in the act of bia. To which the Gemara says, yeah, but the yashin's not kona. Why not? Why isn't the yashin kona? And what do you want to argue? You need das? You don't need das. The Mishnah said it half a dozen different ways. You don't need das. So let's take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi on the top of Nandala Madalaf. So yashin lo kona, the yashin lav bar das, velo have kinyano kinyan. So Rashi says, well, when you're sleeping, you don't have das. You have no consciousness when you're sleeping, and so the ain't no bar das, and therefore his kinyan is not a kinyan. Even at that point, it's difficult to understand. Meaning, and what about all the cases back in the Mishnah, where he was a show in the Mishnah, he's a shogeg. He doesn't even know it's a zivama, and still it works.
Yeah, but the act is his das.
Okay, good. So what we're going to say, very, very good. So what we're going to say is that when we say that you don't need kavana, it means you don't need kavana for the mitzvah of Yibum. But what we're going to suggest now is, seems pretty clear from the Gemara, is that you need kavana for the act of bia.
Except for
a new song. Right. In other words, there. Agree. Again, right. It's we're really painting the edges over here in terms of how much kavana you need. Again, you don't. The Mishnah's point, time and again, is you don't need any kavana. But now the Gemara is saying in the B'Shem Rav Yehuda that if you're sleeping, it doesn't work. You need something.
What does kavana mean?
Kavana means intent, meaning
intent for what?
To do the mitzvah.
You're about to take a wife on. In other words, she's going
to
become your wife. As Rashi pointed back in the Mishnah, I didn't mention this. Rashi pointed back in the Mishnah, you're going to inherit all of your brother's estate with the act of bia. And she's going to become your wife. All through the act of bia. Exactly the point. Meaning that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that the act of bia is all you need. And now the Gemara is saying, yeah, but you're sleeping, it doesn't work. Why not? I understand. That's a difficult question to tackle. So the first thing is that Rashi says is that you need some sort of das. Even then, it's hard to understand. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here, the bottom of the... Not the bottom.
Das for the act, but not das for the mitzvah. That's maybe the distinction.
Good. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, Yashin lo kana. Perish bekushos mishum de lo have bar das. Vikasha. So he quotes Rashi. Rashi says, you don't need das. Tosfos says, I don't understand Rashi. In fact, the hakatan afagav de lo have bar das have koni ilav di miate kra. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to entertain the idea that a minor... Remember, a yibum can happen to anybody. A minor could theoretically fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. A pasuk is going to tell us otherwise. But without the pasuk telling us otherwise, a katan could fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. A katan has zero das. How is he doing the mitzvah of Yibum? Again, it doesn't work. But in theory, it should work. How does that work?
No, but even the katan, we say he knows what he's saying, so even though
he doesn't, a katan doesn't have das.
The mitzvah. No, he can't do the mitzvah. If he knows, he understands.
It doesn't work. It doesn't have das.
It's interesting,
but I
call them a sasik when he's sleeping. I guess he's not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, but that may be a semantic issue. Masasik ones in this context maybe just simply be the same thing.
He's saying Yashan like kind of be even, maybe he's masasik, and that's why he's like
kind of. It may just boil down to semantics. Meaning we're going to end up saying that it's saying the same thing. He's not. So al time let just. Let's go back to Tosfos. Elatamim mishum dalavi chavin labia klal. Ve'avikim eskavin la'tich b'kosla de besamach. Okay, so Ben, this is a little bit more like the way you were saying it. In other words, Tosfos says that you don't need das. Das is not the issue, right? The fact that when you're sleeping you don't have das, which is true, but that's not the issue. The issue, says Tosfos, is that you don't have to have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah, but you do have to have kavanah to have bia. Because again, the act if bia is a kinyan, your kavana has to be intent on the act, not on the mitzvah, not even on her, but on the act of Bia. In fact, Tosfos points out, we're going to see in just a moment, if a man has no intent to have relations, that's even if in the process he's with his Yavama, that's not a Kenyan. Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. So Ella, so the Gemara says, we're back to the Gemara on top of Nindal and Aleph, Ella bin Nitka. So the Gemara says, what would the, again, we're looking for a case of anus. Right? What exactly is the scenario where the, we could be describing the man as an anus? So if he wasn't mitkasha and he goes to the point of kishuri, that's not anus. By definition, that's not anus. So what's an example? So nitka, take a look at Rashi, next Rashi on the daf, on the amun, shenitkasha leishto, enough amanagag, venitka biyavimta. Okay, again, it's delicate, but he already got to the point of kishuri because he was planning on being with his wife. Then falls on his yavama, and again, with no intent, he has bia with his yavama, and that is in a scenario where he's considered an anus. And again, it may go back to your point, meaning misasek anus in this context, really the same thing. The Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't work out, because we know Rabba says straight out that in such a scenario, he is going to have to pay all damages, but he's not going to be a vimto. Okay, go back to the eighth parak of Baba Kama. Eighth parak of Baba Kama tells us that when you damage somebody, you're going to have to pay for all damages that were done, even if it was an accident. Right? When it comes to Nezikin, there's no shogig, there's no onus when it comes to Nezik. Right? You back up into somebody's car, you can't say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't, that was an accident. I mean, you could say sorry, that'd be nice, but in terms of your obligation to pay, you are not exempt from any obligation, even if it's an onus, although that point is debatable. But I'll say it right now, simply, even though it's not that simple. But even if it's an onus, you don't have to pay for damages. You do have to pay for damages. So if a man slips and falls on his yavama, and he damages her, he's gonna have to. In other words, he harms her. Any injury, he's got to pay for all that. And the payment comes in four different categories: nezik, tzar, ripui, sheves. The actual damage itself, the pain endured, the medical bills, and workers' comp. What about boshes? What about the fact? What about the embarrassment? The Gemara is going to spell that out in just a moment. I'll give it away right now. Boshes, it's the interesting aspect of tort damages, where boshes, the embarrassment suffered, you are only obligated for compensation or obligated to compensate if it was done intentionally. Okay, but boshes is a strange one. But anyway, but the point of Rabbah is no kinyan. No kinyan by Yavama. So the Gemara says, Ella, so again, all we're trying to do, it's we're one objective. What's the case of anus as it pertains to a man? Ella Kagosh is commonly ish of a tapfo yivimto, uva aleha. So the Gemara says, okay, the case is that he got to the point of kishui with his wife, and then the Yavama comes in, and the Yavama forces him on her. Okay, that's the case of anus when it comes to a man. Shnei manusim debei Rabbi Chia hechidami. Gemara says, okay, what would be the case of both anusim, both him and her? Okay, so now it gets a little bit trickier. So the Gemara says, Kedushin is kavlish of the tekfu of the kochamim v'davkum zebezeh. So the Gemara says, okay, so the case would be that he got to the point of kishui because he was planning on being with his wife. Then of the kochamim took both of them and put them, two of them together, and that's how you can have a case of anusim zebezeh, and that would be the case of Rabbi Chia. Uva Allah Adafkum Zebazah. Uba Allah Minani Mili. I'm sorry, Bazebazah Uva Allah. Thank you. Minani Mili, the Gemara now wants to know, where are all these halachas generated from? Meaning, like we say time and again, the Mishnah facts. The Mishnah just simply tells us this is a halacha. But where does that come out from the Psukim? So the Gemara gives us a little bit behind the scenes. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Parshas Kiseitse. Yavama Yavala mitzvah. Yavama Yavala tells us that it's a mitzvah. Rashi says mitzvah, what does that mean? Of course it's a mitzvah. It means that given the choice between Yibam Chalitza, Yibam is the primary, Chalitza is the secondary. And now a second drasha. And that is Yavama Yavala Bia. Bia is the way to do the mitzvah. Anyway, meaning shogig, mezid, onis, ratzon. Va'afikta la'mitzvah, so the Gemara says, the Brisa just violated the cardinal rule of drasha. One drasha, not two drashas. So how did the Brisa just do that? One drasha is la'mitzvah. The second drasha is ben b'shogig, how did that happen? So the Gemara says, la'mitzvah mevi'im lo yachpot ha'ish, nafka. Oh, you want to know where we know it's a mitzvah from? It doesn't really come from Yavama Yavar Allah. It's like the Brisa almost like giving kind of an asmachta. But the real source of Yibam comes before Chalitza is Im lo yachpot ha'ish. If you don't want to do Yibam, so then here's your next step. But that obviously, just from the context of the Torah, Chalitza is secondary to Yibam. Now, good. So we now know where the mitzvah comes from. Now we go back to Yavama Yavar Allah. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'ones, bein b'ratz, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones. Okay. Ha'chafet yavam. V'chi asakra, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. Tanya nechling work, what's another b'raisa? Yavam yavol ha'kadarka, v'lacha shalok kadarka. Both types of bia kadarka, bia shalok kadarka qualifies bia. And Hedy doesn't answer your question, but again, I'm just going to point out the obvious. Bia shalok kadarka, now that's a natural relations. So so obviously that's not going to result in pregnancy. So, Eddie, I'm not answering your question, just simply pointing out that the mitzvah can be accomplished even though the mitzvah is not going to yield a child necessarily. In terms of the mitzvah, mitzvah can only be accomplished through bia, not through shtar, not through kesef. You might have thought, it's marriage. How do you get into a marriage? First mishnah and kedushin. Kesef, shtar, or bia. I might have thought that as long as bia is one of the options for the mitzvah of Yibam, maybe kesef, maybe shtar. Yavama Yavala teaches otherwise. Sorry, v'yabim teaches otherwise. V'yimah, b'al karcha. Yimah tells us that even if it's against the world. Davar achi, yavama yavala, b'im v'shogeg, etc. V'afikta l'kadarka. So the Gemara says again, another a seeming violation of you double dipped, you came up with two drashas from the same word. So in terms of the lekadarka, that's learned out from the pasuk of lahakim shem, meaning how are you going to continue the legacy of your brother by having a child? How do you have a child? Kadarka. Then what are we going to get from the pesukim? Shelo kedarka v'chiyasakra ben b'shogi ben beiz ben bonus ben baratzon. Okay. Gufa. I'm Rav Yehuda Yashin lo kana b'yavimto. Damakra yavam yavol la ad mechaven la l'shem bia. Okay. It's funny. We talk Rashi. We talk Tosfos. I mean the Gemara essentially says it, that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam is you don't need kavanah for the mitzvah, but you do need kavanah l'shem bia. V'atanya ben er ben yashin. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is, we have a Brisa. The Brisa says, even if he's sleeping, he can fulfill the mitzvah. Ema bein eira bein yeshena. The Gemara says, let's try to edit the Brisa. Maybe the Brisa is not talking about him, maybe the Brisa is talking about her. The Hatayin, the Gemara says, it's not true. I'll show you another Brisa. Bein er who? Bein yashen who? Bein eira he? Bein yeshena he? Okay. This Brisa clearly says it doesn't matter which participant is sleeping, the mitzvah has been accomplished. So the Gemara says the Brisa is not talking about when they're sleeping. It's talking about where they're somewhere between awake and asleep, semi-conscious state. So the Gemara here, classic Gemara. What's the definition of not being awake but not being asleep? So asleep, not awake. Other way around. So the, no. I was right. So kegon dekarale va'ani v'lo yada l'aduri svara, right? Okay. Anyone in the teaching profession, you know, yeah, right. You call on him, okay? He'll respond, but now he's not going to say anything intelligent. Okay. V'chim atgarle mitkar, and if you remind him of something, so then he'll remember. But in other words, not totally awake, alert, and around, but he has some degree of consciousness. He is not asleep. That's what the Bryce is talking about. Applies off. I mean, this comes up again and again through Shas. This idea of being semi-conscious. Right, we saw it recently in to my memory, Megillah, probably before that, more recently. But back in Masechta Megillah, we talked about how when you hear the Megillah and you are in this semi-conscious state, you fulfill the mitzvah. Gufama Rava Nafal Minagag Benitra Chai Bar Bedvar Mavivim Talokana Benezek Betzara Beshavis Beripui. You fall off. The Gemara gives the example of a roof. All right, it's just a visualization, falling off a roof and landing on top of somebody else. Right, just you know, it probably is going to be more serious. But anyway, but the point is that if you create any damages on the fall, so then you have to pay for all damages. You have to pay for the actual nezek itself, and for the pain, and for the medical bills, and for the workers' comp. Aval boshes lo mechayev, but you do not pay for the embarrassment suffered. Boshes, even though it's one of the five tort damages that you have to pay, but nevertheless, you only pay it if done by kavana. A man has intent to be matich bekoso. Okay, his intent right now is not to have relations, but just simply to use a wall. And it turns out that his yavama was there, so he has not. He has not been Kona, right? I understand the Gemara is unbelievably graphic, but the point the Gemara is making is just simply that the mitzvah of Yibam doesn't need Kavana, but it does need Kavana for Biyam. The Itech B'Yivim Talokana, I'm sorry, actually, on this Kavana Latech, because of Itech B'Yivim Talokana, Latech B'Behema V'Itech B'Yivama Kana. Okay, oddly enough. But if he has intent for Behema, and then he ends up with his Yivama, so that is a Kenyan, because that is an intent for Biyam. Right, relations with a behema is bia. Now again, it's indelicate, but we know this is so. Look at the parsha of Arias, the iser of Arias included in one of the averes of Arias is behema, mishka behema.
But again, my question: mitzvah of aver doesn't apply here.
It's not well. First, it's his intent. You never get punished in the Torah for intent. Okay, so dehaka mechavim l'shem bia ba'olam echad ma'ara marula minayim la'ara min haTorah. Okay, the Gemara now, a long segment coming up in the Gemara regarding how Arah, it's partial penetration. So that qualifies as Bia. How do we know that? How do we know that so? Now really the question over here, it's going to be a really broad question because it's not, where, how Arah is Bia, Legabe, both the mitzvahs, where the mitzvah of Bia is required, and also by Averis as well. And all we're going to do over the course of the next, it's going to be a while. So almost an entire Amud. Next Amud of Gemara. Is just simply established that Ha'ara is Bia as it pertains to every halacha of where Bia either is a mitzvah or an avera. So, Echad Amar Amar Ula Minayin La'ara Min HaTorah Shenemar V'ish Asher Yishkav Es Isha Dava V'Gila Etzer Vasa Es Mekara Ha'ara. So, truth be told, it's pretty clear, meaning it's a pasuk in Chumash. But right, Arayus is mentioned twice. We've gone over this a number of times. Arayus is mentioned twice in the Torah. It's mentioned in Achrimos and mentioned Kedoshim. Okay, why twice? Achrimos is the Yisr, it's the Lavim, and Kedoshim is the punishment. That's the Onish. Right? Ela, Ein Onshin, Ela, Ein Ken Mazirin. The only time that you get punished is only if there's a Lav. First the Torah has to tell you that it's wrong, and then, and only after then, can we talk about punishment. So you find the Pesukim of Arayus both in Achrimos and in Kedoshim. Here the Gemara quotes from Parshas Kedoshim that if a man has relations with a Nida, and the Torah says, Es Mekora Ha'ara. Okay, so you see that Ha'ara is, in fact, qualifies as Bia. Mikan La'ara Min HaTorah. Ashkecha Nida Sha'arais Minayin. Good. So we have one example in the Torah mentioned specifically by Nida. How do we know that it's all-inclusive? It applies to any of the other arais in the Torah. V'chitem and Elif Min Nida. So the Gemara's first suggestion is Binyanav. Doesn't it set the precedent? So the Gemara says, Malanida shekem etam is ba'olah. So the Gemara says, no, it can't set a precedent because there's a chumra regarding Nida. And that is when a man has relations with Nida, he's tamei for 7 days. Her tumas Nida, so to say, transfers to him. Not exactly, but for our purposes, that's fine. Meaning, so it's a special tumma by Nida. So. No, she'll make you tame, but you'll go to the mikvah, you'll wait till the evening, and you'll be fine. Bia is tumah for 7 days. Okay. So, mitame es bawala. El asim eishas achtich siv. So the Gemara says, fine, we have another pasuk. Eishas shirikach es eishas achiv nidahi. So if a man has relations with his brother's wife, the Torah says she's a nida. She's not a nida. What does that mean? Gemara asks. V'chi eishes achiv olam nida hi ala kin nida. Ma nida ba'ara eishes ach ba'ara. So the Gemara says, she's not a nida. I mean, she could be, but not categorically. So the Gemara says, it means that she has the status of a nida. Just like by a nida, ha'ara is considered bia, so too by eishes ach. So ma'ala eishes ach, she can be adol rambos. Di'ibayim mekash ba'azo ki alpha. So the Gemara says, you know, eishes ach, there's also a chomer by eishes ach. And that is, that's one of those arayos that could multiply. Gemara here gives a scenario of 1,000 times over. Gemara just making its point, even though it might be exaggerating just a little bit. But the point is that unlike your sister, you have one sister and that's it. Your sister cannot multiply. Eishesach, your brother's wife, your brother can have one wife, a second, a third, a thousandth. Meaning it's the kind of erva that can multiply. So, ala asim echos ava echos aim. Gemara says... Sorry. Gemara says there's a third pasuk. Dichsiv, erva sachos imcha, vachos vicha, lo segale, ki eshero ha'ara. Another pasuk describing your aunt, your mother's sister, or your father's sister. In both of those cases, that's one of the arayos in the Torah, and the Torah there says ha'ara. So we have another pasuk describing ha'ara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it can't set a precedent because there, that is a erva through family. No marriage was needed to get from you to her. It's your father's sister. It's your mother's sister. Masha'en came where you can't extend it to other arayos that involve marriages. So, like, for example, your father's wife. Another example would be your brother's wife. So the Gemara says, Mechad alas yatasechad mitarte. So here we go now into classic drush of the Gemara, which is good. We have so far three times in the Torah where it describes Ha'ara as being Bia. Once by Nida, once by a second time by Ishazach, and a third time by Achos Aviv and Achos Imo. None of them by themselves can serve as a binyanav. So, why not try to put two of them together to create what's called a tzad hashava, common denominator. So, chana mitate, sorry, asya, sorry, mechana lo asya taisi, chana mitate. So, my taisi. So, the Gemara says, okay, which two? Which two can create a binyanav for the rest of arayos? So, taisi, meishasach vachos av. So, the Gemara says, well, let's see if we can combine the isurim of your brother's wife and your aunt. So malanach shekeni isurim mishum she'er. So the Gemara says, yeah, but those are arayos that come through family relationships. Ella and huh? Meaning the family. Masha ein kenida, which is not that's an erva that does not come as a result of family. So ella taisi minida. So the Gemara says, okay. So why don't we learn out from nida? So, I should say by themselves, before I go on to the Gemara, also, that wouldn't preclude Eishes Ish, meaning adultery. Adultery is an erva, but that's not a family member, that's just simply a married woman. So, we need a precedent that'll cover every case of arayos. So the Gemara says, Ela taisi mi nida v'achosav, v'achosem. So how about putting together nida together with achosav v'achosem, your aunt. Malanach shekeni yisur haba me'elav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but those are Yisurim that come automatically. And we're looking for all Yisurim. So, Ela taisi minida ve'eshesach. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll put together the Erva of Nida together with the Erva of Eshesach. Okay? So, and now we have, seemingly we have everything covered. Because Nida happens automatically, Eshesach doesn't. Eshesach is an Erva only after your brother decides to marry this woman. Okay, so now it seems like we have every erva covered, right? The my parach matkel of rav acha bered rav ika malanida beishesach shekain ein lam heter bechaye ostram tamer beishes ish shekain yeshla heter bechaye ostra. You can't include eishes ish even if I put these two together, because eishes ish, here's a case where a woman is an erva and she can now become not an erva through divorce or. I would say or death, but the Gemara just simply wants to highlight. Even if the cause of her becoming an erva is still alive, meaning her husband, if they go through a divorce, she's no longer an erva. Eshesach, she always will be an erva. Nida, well, I'm saying right.
Transient.
Right, and it is transient, but while she's a nida, that's it's going to be an erva. Amalei Rav, no, but doesn't matter. In other words, the point is, though, is that Eshesach always is going to be an erva. Amalei Rav Achim Edifta L'Ravina Atu Nida V'Eshesach B'Chayosram Hu De'in Lahem Heter Aval Achim Ikan Yesh Lahem Heter. So the Gemara says, you want to tell me that Ashes Ach and Nida have no end to them? Nida, top of the next Talmud, Biyome Talya Milsa. When it comes to Nida, days, meaning, what's going to be the matter for a Nida? You wait a week. Nowadays, longer, but in other words, the days will be matter. Eshesach, Mibanim Talya Rachmana. When it comes to Eshesach, your brother's wife, so she also can become permitted to you. So Ella Prichachi. So the Gemara says, so the question really should be formulated like this. Malinita Veshesach Shekin Ein Osra Matiran. Tarma Veshesish Osra Matira. The Gemara says the better way to formulate the question goes like this. When it comes to Nida and Eshesach, so their Iser is not their Matir, meaning Nida. What makes her Aser? The fact that she's bleeding. What makes her Mutter? Dates. It's not the Iser which will create the Heter. And the same thing is true regarding Eshesach. What creates the Iser? The fact that your brother married her. What creates the Heter? The fact that she has no children. Basha Ein Kain, when it comes to Eshes Ish, that which asses her is going to be mat to her. When it comes to a married woman, what asses her? Her husband. What matis her? Her husband. Okay, so in other words, so even if I put Nida together with Eshes Ach, I cannot generate every case of Arayos, because Eshes Ish is not the same. So the Gemara says, Elam, Rav Yonah, Bitem, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Makra, Kikol, Asher, Yesem, Kol, Tavos, Elam, Nechrasu, Nefashel, Tavosos, Hokshu, Kol, Arayis, Kol, Lanida, Manida, Baraf, Kol, Bahara. Gemara's answer is, and the Gemara's answer always is, meaning this is how the Gemara ends these discussions, especially in Arayos, we have a Hekesh. In other words, you go to the end of Achrei Mos, not the end of the Parsha, but the end of the section of Arayos, and what does the Torah do? The Torah gives a wrap-up statement. The Torah says that anyone who does any of these actions, so is going to be subject to the Isser of Arayos. So the Torah connects all them together. This is what's called the Hekesh. And so now with the Hekesh, and when once you have a Hekesh, you can ask all the questions you want. Ein Meshivin Ala Hekesh. A Hekesh is strong. And so therefore we have Hekesh at the end, which connects all the Arayos. And just like by Nida, where the Torah spells out that Ha'ara, that partial penetration, is considered Bia when it comes to Nida, so too is that going to be true by all the other Arayos in the Torah. I've called the Ha'ara. Okay. Fine.
Again, how is the connection with Nida and the Arayos together one thing, but how is it connected to Nida?
How is it connected? Because
yeah.
The Torah goes through every one of the Arayos. In Parshas Achrei Mos. And then at the end, the Torah says, anyone who does any of these actions.
Yes.
So when one pasuk, the Torah bundles every one of them together. What do you mean, where's the Nida? Meaning Nida is one of the things that was mentioned. It's one of the examples. And now the Torah bundles all them together to tell me that just like by Nida, Ha'ara is considered Bia, so too by all the other Arayos, Ha'ara is considered Bia. And then, we'll leave the loose ends for tomorrow. But the loose ends we need to tie up is that once we have the Hekesh, so then what was the need for all those Pesukim? Meaning we had a Ha'ara mentioned by the end. We had the fact that the Torah describes the Eshesach as an Ida. Now they all become superfluous. Now they're not necessary. And they're obviously open for the purposes of Drasha. So tomorrow we'll cover up those loose ends.